Today on Older and Wiser.
Do you live in a state full of sinners? Today we'll reveal the most sinful states in America.
Ooh, also, we'll tell you how long it takes for most couples to relax and be themselves around the house. And we'll list the top relationship deal breakers.
Plus, how boomers and youngins start the day in different ways.
You're listening to Older and Wiser.
Hey, folks, welcome to Older and Wiser. I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora up there in Northern California. The most sinful states in America. Where do you live? Do you live in one of the most sinful states in America? I actually do, as it turns out.
Yes. Well, yeah, me too.
We've got a whole list here from WalletHub.com. They put together a list based on 43 key indicators of immorality. From violent crimes per capita to excessive drinking to gambling. I would think you could add prostitution. I could think you could add various kinds of, I don't know.
Sins.
What is sin anyway? We don't use that term very much, Susan.
Well, in the Catholic Church, we hear it a lot. To me, my own personal definition of it is that if you purposely set out to hurt another human being. That's my standard. You know, it's like treat others as you want to be treated. And, you know, that's that to me is my definition.
Well, it's pretty obvious what state comes in at number one.
Yes.
Primarily because the most well-known city in that state literally is called Sin City.
Yes. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So
number one on the list, Nevada is the most sinful state in America.
You would almost wonder why they needed to do a survey to find out if they just wanted to find out number one. I would think, you know, if you're going for the obvious here, it's sitting right there. So
now you and I live in the state of California. I would have thought this is a pretty lovely place. We've got our rolling mountains and our beaches and sure, we've got some urban centers, but I don't think of Californians as particularly sinful. Where did you think we would land on the list?
Actually, I thought we would probably come out pretty high on somebody else's survey. Yeah. There are pockets of California that are probably very conservative. There are the cities that are very liberal. You've got Hollywood where you are. You've got the Bay Area.
There's a lot of sin
here
in Hollywood.
But I mean, you know, if you take the people in Hollywood and you transplant them to someplace else, the sins don't stay in California. They go with the person.
You've got some wild stuff going on in San Francisco. I would think.
Well, you know,
a little
wild
up there. Just saying.
Yeah, and politically, I think people are more outspoken. But to me, it's more of a live and let live kind of thing.
So we came in at number three. California is the third most sinful state in the country.
Yeah. Okay. Now I have to tell you, Texas was 4, Tennessee 5, Louisiana 6, Georgia 7, and all the way down to 17 is my native home state, which is New Jersey. I'm surprised they're not higher. I don't want to tickle anybody.
Chris Christie lives there. Yeah. It's got to be a little crooked. Please. Well, New Yorkers are similar to this as well. They came in at number 24, halfway in the middle. Isn't it surprising you? The largest city in America, New York City, I would think that would be the epicenter of immorality and sin.
You would, except maybe some of the sins are too expensive. I don't know. The cost of living there is terrible.
You can't afford New York. Yes,
that
it's
many
true.
Places. As I say, I always wonder about these surveys because I wonder what the criteria is. Now here, what's the very last state that's supposedly the most virtuous?
The most virtuous state in America is Vermont.
And why do you think that is?
Well, isn't Vermont the state for lovers? Isn't that?
Yes, but it's probably too cold.
Too
for
cold
love.
For them to do anything sinful there.
It's like you're so cold, even inside with the heat on. I don't know. I don't understand this.
Well,
there
aren't any major metropolitan areas in Vermont. So there you go. Next up on our list of surveys, we've got one about couples. According to this study, by one poll, it takes nearly 7 months for most people to feel comfortable using the bathroom with the door open.
Okay.
How about that? What do you think?
I don't know why 7 months. I think it would take time because I think there's a comfort. I think all of this stuff, the comfort level of all of these things, when you do them privately and then you're doing them in front of each other.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a willingness to say, this is who I really am. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to put up a facade. You know, it eventually is coming. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like that whole thing for me, at least, has changed with time over the years. Like in the beginning, I didn't care one way or another. It was like, right, great, sure, fine.
Right.
But oddly enough, as I've gotten older, I want the door shut. I want my own mirror and I want my own, like, I don't want to stand in front of the mirror and keep sucking in my gut. You know what I mean? I don't.
You know what? People do want their own bathroom. And I have to say, when you share a bathroom with somebody, I mean, there's a lot of other issues. When you share a bathroom with somebody, it's, you know, who's going to be, what if I have to get in there when you're in there? Hurry up and don't leave your stuff around and don't leave the seat up.
That's
and all
really
that stuff.
A lot of it. Yeah. Is the clutter
when you
and all that.
When you have your own bathroom, after Skip and I had our own bathrooms, it was just like I had my bathroom and he had his bathroom. Yeah. And I said, you can clean yours and I'll clean mine. That was the deal.
It really does help, yeah.
Absolutely. So
we kind of have a weird configuration in ours where we each have our own little bathroom area, but we share the toilet area in our master bedroom.
How many bathrooms do you have in your house?
We have two bathrooms in the house, yeah.
Okay.
So, it's nice because she will come and borrow my toothpaste. Just that's one little thing, right? She'll squeeze it in the middle and then put it back.
So. Yes, but it's the little, those are the little things. You know what would be interesting is if somebody did this survey for people who were in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s and do these same things, are these same things of concern to them. Is there a shift in priorities here?
Some people probably get more comfortable and just don't care.
Yeah, being naked around the house.
Yeah.
You could think, well, you know, my body's not what it was when I was 20. On the other hand, neither is his.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's, you know, that, and then after a while you get used to it, the shock of, oh, you know, you're fat. Well, yeah, so are you. So it's just, you know what I did find interesting was the last one. I don't know why this is sharing a Netflix Hulu account. It took 7 months and 24 days, the longest of all of these. I don't get that unless people are more possessive about what they watch for entertainment than they are.
Oh, that's very interesting because, you know, if you're sharing your Netflix user information, then the other person can see what it is you watched, I guess. Who knows? She might not like your choice in movies when she's not around.
Well, and also depends on what you're hiding. I mean, you know, if it's porn, then that may be an issue.
Well, they don't
have porn
on Netflix, so that's one
thing. Oh, okay.
Thing.
All
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, it's interesting that this took longer than passing gas in front of a partner.
Which,
that was
by
6 months,
way,
25 days, and sharing Hulu was 7 months and 24 days.
Yeah, it took 6 months
almost
for
8 months.
People to pass gas in front of their partner.
Right. I think some of these things I think would be consistent with if you meet somebody new, whether you're 85 or 25, I think, or 35, I think it would probably still be consistent. The only thing I would say is this, and this is just a guess, but if they did the survey and they only did people, let's say, over 60 years old, all right, who were meeting new people, and it would be maybe a smaller universe because you'd be talking about widows and widow. I don't know how many people, but the point is, I think maybe the times of all these things would take less. Life is short. Let's not sweat the small stuff, and let's just get on with living.
Well, speaking of meeting new people, that brings us to our next survey, which reveals the top 10 relationship deal breakers in America. They sampled 5,000 Americans, ranging in age from 21 to 76. So it wasn't just youngins. There's some older people involved, too, because old people start new relationships all the time. You know,
absolutely, they do.
They get started on a second marriage, or they are widowed or whatever. But there are certain things that all people seem to agree upon, that if my potential mate has this, I'm out.
I'm out. Okay.
So the number one thing is simple: disheveled or unclean appearance.
Yeah, take a shower.
Yeah.
I mean,
number two
seriously.
Is lazy. Women are particularly
sensitive to the fact that the guy doesn't want to pick up after himself and figures that once he lives with a woman, she'll do the picking up around the house. And I wonder also, by the way, what that means for gay relationships.
Yeah, it's just
And I have friends who are gay and who are married, and I think these things come up with them as well.
Yeah. I think this one's a big one. Number three, deal breaker, if you're too needy,
it's very insecure.
Over.
Yeah. I can't, you know, we're all, I mean, if you're in a relationship, certainly you're there for the other person, but you can't make his or her decisions and live his or her life for your partner. You can't do, I mean, they have to be on, those people have to be independent.
Or clingy. You know, I guess needy and clingy are kind of the same. If you're constantly calling, saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you, when are you coming home? When are you going to be here? I can't wait to see you. It seems romantic and thoughtful, but it's also it also suggests that the other person is nothing without you, and that's less than attractive.
You want to say get a life.
Yeah, you want to say get your own life. Let's get together later, and then it'll be great. But in the meantime, sort of find your own way, and that'll make me more attracted to you.
Yeah. The next one is lacks a sense of humor. That would be key for me.
I can't imagine. So many people. Absolutely. Yeah. Both my girls have mentioned this too, is that one of the things that they have had in the past, especially when meeting potential mates, is the lack of a sense of humor. That it's, they'll date a guy that's good looking, accomplished, you know, has a good job, but they're just kind of bored.
You watch your
whole life stretch out ahead of you and realize that there's never going to be much laughter in this one. You're kind of like,
I think you can find laughter, and I think you can, it's not that everything is hilarious, and there's certain things that are not funny, but I don't know if you can find a laugh in almost anything. And I know people who can, I think it helps you get through whatever it is.
Number five, it's a deal breaker if the person lives more than 3 hours away.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although now with social media, I think younger people think they're having relationships, but I think they're going to find out that those are not going to last. I wonder what the divorce rate is going to be in, let's say, 10 to 20 years from now, when everybody who's 20 and doing everything on a phone app and social media.
Oh, you're thinking about relationships where they do a lot of phone connection.
Everything.
Yeah. Number six is bad sex. I guess pretty common among people.
I guess it can be. And that can change if somebody, you know, what if a partner gets sick?
Number seven, lacks self-confidence. Yeah. That goes along
that
with
goes
the too needy thing.
Yes, exactly.
Number eight, too much TV or video games.
Yeah why
women
why
hate
you
it when guys
me?
Sit around in front
TV?
Of the video game all day, right? Or what about football? What if a man is completely obsessed with football and spends his entire weekend watching football?
A lot of men are.
Yeah, but as a woman, what does that do to you?
I think if you're needy, it's going to kill you. I think if you're not needy, you're going to say, okay, you're going to watch this. I'm going out with my friends. I'm going to a movie. I'm going to go read a book. I'm going to go do something. I mean, that's where you have to have the confidence and say, you know, I'm going to go do something I want to do. Now, if you want to do something with your partner and your partner is consumed with watching sports on TV all weekend, then that's something you're going to have to sit down and talk about. And if you can resolve it, then fine. Maybe there's a happy medium. Otherwise, it could be a deal breaker. I could see that.
Number nine on the list of deal breakers, low sex drive. Yeah. Number 10, stubborn. Yeah. Nobody wants any of that stuff. Now, you had something that you thought should be on the list.
Oh, money. That's the reason most marriages break up. Is because two partners can't agree on money. And that could mean that you both have a lot of it, but you don't agree on how to spend it. Or you never have enough, which most people, I think, are dealing with all the time, or paycheck to paycheck, and one person wants to squander it, and the other one wants to be very rigid.
Susan, that's so obvious. Why did they leave this off the list?
I have no idea.
Money, of course, that's like right up there.
If you don't have money, or you disagree, or one is squandering it and the other one is saving, like, you know, being as thrifty as possible, eventually it's going to be a clash.
All right, let's move on to our final topic today. This one's from MSN. And what they did, they surveyed Americans about their morning routines. And what they kind of found out is that there's a big difference between baby boomers and millennials in terms of how they start their day.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they found was that adults 64 and under are more likely to lay out their clothes the night before, whereas people older just wing it.
I used to do that, and
you
I did
used to
it.
Lay it out before, and now
yeah,
you wing
but
it?
There's a reason. I went to Catholic school until 12th grade, and then all of a sudden I was late for classes in college like crazy. Now, I tend to be a little late for things, I will admit, right up front. Full disclosure, okay. But I was standing there trying to choose what to wear when I had worn uniforms in Catholic school for 12 years or so. So the choice was me.
Yeah.
And
the uniforms are
Yeah, I had to like put it together for the first time on a daily basis. But I have done the thing where if I'm going someplace special the next day, for example, I do some substitute teaching. And if I do, I have to get up earlier to get out the door as opposed to a day when I'm not. And I will make sure that my clothes are already chosen. So I'm not thinking, what am I going to wear? Or the sub clothes are in one section, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
The only time I do that is if I've got an early flight the next day.
That
and
too.
I don't want to wake up and figure out what jeans am I wearing, what's
yes.
a shirt. You know, everything's ready to go. The shoes, the socks.
Right.
I just jump into them. The rest of the stuff's already packed in the suitcase.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good thing.
According to this survey, the older you are, the more likely you are to prioritize breakfast. 2/3 of young adults never or seldom eat breakfast.
Yeah. I think that's true. It's changed. I've changed with that. Now, I'm not saying I sit down and eat a full meal. I should probably do something like that. But I try to have, you know, I don't grab a donut.
I have the same thing every day, day in,
do
day out.
Do tell.
I eat a bowl of Raisin Bran. This is really old people stuff now. We are really getting into it. I eat a bowl of Raisin Bran with a container of yogurt on top, and I mix it all up so it's kind of mushy.
I go through spurts. I used to get grape nuts and put it in. I don't even remember what I put it in with. I think frozen blueberries and stick it in the microwave and mix it up.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, that mm-hmm. frozen blueberries and it gets all blueberry-ish in there. Oh, that's
yeah,
good.
It was pretty good. You have to put enough so that it moistens the grape nuts, you know.
My wife does not eat breakfast. She just gets a cup of coffee and
she's so young at heart.
Yeah, she's young at heart. She is.
No, I find that if I don't, I'll tell you what I have found, that if I don't eat breakfast, I'm hungrier through the day. And if you tend to eat more, I one year when I lost some weight, I reversed it. What I did was I would get salmon and have a slice of salmon
for breakfast
or so. Yes. Have
salmon
my protein in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
According to the survey, almost 1/3 of older adults exercise in the morning compared to only 18% of 20 somethings and 25% of middle-aged folks.
No, I can't bound out of bed and start jumping around.
My wife is able to do that. She just jumps up and heads right to class.
I swim, but I go later in the day. Do you get up and exercise?
I get up and go right to the cabinet, get my Raisin Bran, and and come back to bed. I literally eat my Raisin Bran in bed. That
no
is all
kidding.
The exercise I get in the mornings.
Well,
so
when you're retired, these are the one of the bonuses of retiring. Okay. The bad news, there's less money. The good news is less demands on your time. So, you know.
We are out of time for today. Quickly, what is your thought of the day, Susan?
Have your own bathroom.
I love it. If you can afford it, have your own bathroom. Or invest
well,
in a porta potty.
And if you live alone, that's not a problem if you're single. But if you are married, sometimes separate bathrooms can save a marriage.
See you next time.